all say together? Hallelujah. One more time. Hallelujah. That's it. Praise God. What's a beautiful resounding noise. It's just amazing. Powerful. So amazing. It's powerful. Hallelujah. So very apt. Thank you, Pastor John, for giving me another opportunity to come and preach. And thank you for all the Brimbank congregation. We have received nothing but love, affection, and we have always been at the receiving end, not the giving end. And that is what Brimbank has showed us, how to give. And it's been beautiful, successful, amazing, memorable journey together. And we are still there. We are not walking out for good. We're still there. We're still in Melbourne. And pretty much most of the Brimbank Church congregational members, they have my number. So feel free to reach out and say hi sometimes. And it feels really good to receive those calls randomly just to say hi. That's really awesome. And thanks for being an extended family, I would say. Because as you might know, we don't have family over here, like the near family over here. Parents back in India, brothers, sisters, in-laws, pretty much everyone. And just me, wife, and my children. So when I come to the church, I've said this many times to Bishop Vince as well, that when I come and when walking into the church, it feels like I'm just walking into my father's house once again. Where I see all my brothers, where I see all my sisters, my cousins, my extended family members, and every one of you, every one of you. And I can look at the faces, and I can't think I don't know this person. Every one of you have been a great blessing in our life. And I really thank you for everything that you have done for us. Amazing journey together. Thank God for that. Thank God for that season. I will never forget. That will always remain in my heart. And coming back to the word. When we were singing, Naral just said something about fear. And I was just starting to giggle in myself. That was the word that I was going to preach today. Fear. How many of us have experienced that strong emotion? Fear. We've always been there. We've always experienced on daily basis, some of us have experienced it at some level. Fear of missing the bus when we run late. Sometimes fear of the lockdown. Fear of the isolation. Fear of many things. Fear of losing someone close to us. Fear of diseases, fear of sicknesses, fear of illness, fear of. Fear is one word that enemy uses against you. And it's just one letter short of another word that God gives you. It's called faith. It's got five letters. Fear is one shot. And what it has done in the lives of every believer is when you sit on it, when you start nourishing fear in your heart, when you start pouring water into it, when you start, you know, embracing it, when you start encouraging and entertaining that particular four-letter word, what sort of an impact would it, have on your life? It could be devastating. I've seen one of the most strong believers in Christ fall apart in fear. I've seen many, just not one. And I've known many. And that is one word where I want to emphasize from Book of Job. And there have been many doctrines built around that particular verse. It comes from Book of Job, chapter 3, verse 25. Book of Job, chapter 3, verse 25. Job here, he says something very profound. He says, what I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. What I feared and what I dreaded. So I don't want to emphasize fear as much, but I want to go to the second part. What I dreaded has happened to me. Fear, on the other hand, can be taken into two dimensions. The entire context, I'll explain the context. Many of us might think, okay, what is the context around this situation? We might think this particular statement has not been repeated in Bible. I've searched it multiple times. I've spent the whole day yesterday not to prepare for the sermon, but to just check if this particular statement has appeared in Bible anywhere else. It has not. Pastor, correct me if I'm wrong. I couldn't. So I challenge the rest of the congregation, find this statement somewhere else repeated in Bible. It does not. There's a one statement that comes out of the mouth of Job. Job, I looked up to this person a lot. I look up to this character in Bible a lot. And I derived a lot from this particular character in Bible. He's amazing. He's powerful in his faith. He stood his ground when his wife advised him something totally against, totally opposite to do. Curse your God and die. But Job's mouth would not question or curse his God. That's the sort of faith that I have attempted to derive from the book of Job. But at the same time, I want to challenge, this particular context can be taken into two scenarios. Something that he has feared throughout his life and made that statement. Or the second scenario could be something that has happened in quick succession. Like four calamities that fell on Job. You all know that story, right? And the Sabians attacked and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. That was the first calamity. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the fire of God fell from the heavens and burned up the sheep and servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. The second calamity. By then, Job's heart would have, you know, something would have triggered in Job. Some sort of a fear, some sort of an anxiety would have just kicked in into Job. He would have thought, are there more? Could there be more? Is there more? Is this the end of it? So comes the third one. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and the only one who had escaped to tell you. So this would have definitely set foot. The fear would have set its footstool in Job's heart somewhere. It has made it's laid its foundation. It's laid its foundation. And by then Job would have thought, are we there yet? Is this it? Is there more? That sounds very familiar to me. You know why? When my father was admitted in the hospital, there was continuous phone calls every single day. I received the first call at 3:30 in the morning on 8th of September, early in the morning. And on that day, I couldn't answer the phone call. I was so tired. I had a late night. And then I was so tired, I couldn't answer the phone call. My wife picked up the call. She said, Dad collapsed. And then, the phone calls that followed thereafter, throughout the next 2.5 months, have set a foundation of fear in me. I'm not playing alien to this particular emotion. It's a very strong emotion. It is so real. I tried to deal with it for 9 months thereafter, after my father passed away. Because every time the phone rings, it would trigger something within me. It would just start something. My tummy would have these butterflies. Ever had that feeling? Butterflies in your tummy? It's a tingling sensation. It's like, it's not warm, it's not cozy, it's just uncomfortable. Every time this phone rings, the fear would start kicking in. And I'd start panicking. Do I answer? Especially unknown numbers. Especially the calls from India. I don't want to know. You people are good. You people are right. You're doing okay. So be it. But don't call me to let me know. Because the moment you call me, I would start imagining things. So you see where I'm coming from. So what happens is, then I had to see a doctor. I went and met a doctor. A pastor going and meeting a doctor. When things are real, you deal with reality. I'd suggest so. Don't feel ashamed. You're not. Let me tell you something. Christianity doesn't preach lies. It preaches truth. And the truth is that some of us are able to, some of us can, some of us have received that gift, but not necessary that you have to deal with it everything yourself. Are we clear? Now, when that fear kicked in, I went to meet a doctor, and he said something very beautiful. He said, fear is a lie that enemy has planted in your heart. But I was telling, fear is truth. I am experiencing it. We had a conflict in discussion. Then he said, look, put it this way. The moment the fear kicks in, you're going to think something that has not happened. Your dimension will shift towards the future. You will start living in future. Something would happen. This call could be something disastrous, which has not happened. This call could be something bad that somebody else has fallen this time. I'm starting to live in future now. Something that you are not living in present leads to anxiety. I'll tell you one simple principle of life. It's a very simple thing. Do not live in the past, it'll lead you to depression. Do not live in future, it'll lead you to anxiety. God wants you to live in today, in present, because that's what he has given you as a gift. So you call that what?
Present.
Amen? So you live in present, because that is what God has gifted you. So instead of living in present, we start living in future. So I started living in future. My doctor said, where do you live? I said, Mikkelheim. No. I'm saying, what exactly is going through your mind? I said, when the call comes, I think this would take place. I think this would happen. I think that would take place. I'm like, they have not taken place, have they? So what are they? Lies. So don't entertain, don't harbor, don't nourish fear. The moment that you start, he'll just lay the foundation and leave. Trust me, guys, somebody has to build. So somebody has to take up the mantle of building. We're all builders. Enemy, what he does, plants the seed, lays the foundation, he will walk away. He will not do the work. He's lazy. I'll tell you, he's very lazy in that. He uses our expertise. We are all experts in building. And what we do and how we build on that lies, on that foundation, will determine what will happen to you in your future. Beautiful. That particular verse struck chords with me, and he said, I was thinking, what exactly is this word, four-letter fear, called in Hebrew? Let's go to the context and derive that Hebrew word. Where did it come from? It's called Yahweh. Y-A-A-R-E in English, but pronounced Y-A-W, a hyphen or a small space, and R-E. Yahweh. Yahweh is something in reverence. It's not the fear that we think would happen. It is the fear that you have towards your God. When I stand in here without my shoes, it's like for me where I preach, it's like for me where I'm standing and preaching the word of God, for me that is holy, not necessary that it has to apply for everyone. You've got your own choices. And I stand where I stand, where I preach the word of God, the holy word that comes through, I will stand that way. But the thing is, and end of the day, what I want to say is what happens when you are, when the word fear strikes you, is you got to understand where is its origin, where is it coming from. So my doctor took me through that journey. He said, where is it coming from, the phone call? Okay, when the phone call comes, what happens when you answer the phone call? It could be a good news, it could be a bad news, it could be anything. You are not going to change the outcome of that call anyway. That's not in your hands. You pick the call, you answer boldly. But this time, in faith, let's do it. In faith, pick up the call, answer it, and see what God does. If it is good news, it is good news. You rejoice. You thank God. You say hallelujah. If you receive a bad news, you would still say, my God knows that phone call was going to come through, right? And if he let it happen, then which means my God is in control, right? And if you're still clinging on to your God, who can come against you? You know that he is in control. You know that God has let it happen. You know, my mother always says, sometimes in sort of emotional attitude, she would say, sometimes I feel like I have this feeling of guilt that I'm responsible somehow for Dad's death. Because she was not there at home. She was at my brother's place. And there was nobody at home when Dad collapsed. And nobody could break the door in until 6 hours passed since he's collapsed. So I don't want to relive all those memories. What I asked my mom, okay, mom, I understand you're feeling guilty. You were there at my brother's place. Dad collapsed. I'm not there. I am here. Where do you think God was? Where do you think God was at that time when all these things happened? When Job had these four news come through one after the other, where do you think God was? Don't we know the situation, how this all started? God had a discussion with Satan. God let it happen. God was under control. God knew what was happening. God doesn't let us go through something unless he has uttermost confidence in us that he will give you something that only you can deal with. Always remember that. If it's happened to you, the first thing that should come across your mind is that my God has immense confidence and immense amount of faith in me that he has let me go through this particular situation. He did not give this opportunity to my neighbor. He gave me that opportunity. If I tell you what my biggest fear is, you'll all start bursting laughing. My biggest fear is stage fear. My biggest fear is stage fear. The moment I think of getting onto the stage, my hands shake. My voice trembles. What happens here is different ballgame altogether. I'll tell you something. If it wasn't for the Lord, if it wasn't for the strong spirit of the Lord, I wouldn't be able to do this anywhere else. If somebody asked me to come and speak a few good words in a marriage matrimonial ceremony or maybe in an award ceremony or something, I wouldn't do it. Very afraid of it. The fear just kicks in. Like, I can't do it. Pastor, we saw you speaking in the church. How come you saying that you are afraid of coming onto the tires? No, I'm afraid. Very, very. It makes my tummy go sick. But anyway, that's not the sermon here. That is the sermon here. It's all about fear. All right. Carefully examine the origin of fear. The first thing that you're going to ask yourself, did you sin? Because there is nothing that can separate you from your God except for sin, isn't it? There is nothing in heaven, under the earth, or on the earth, in the depths of the ocean, or anything else, in the principalities, in the darknesses, in the heavenly realms, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of your God. But there is one thing, sin. Have you sinned? That's the first question that I would think. But Job in this scenario has not sinned. Job's situation was different. Job was certified. Even before the task was handed over to Satan. If you go a few verses before, God says, here is a man of faith. Here is a man who shuns evil and loves me. Here is a man who has lived uprighteous throughout his life. First and foremost, God certifies him and then hands him over to the Satan because God had immense amount of faith in Job. Likewise, some things happen to you, some things come across to you, some things going through you. You just put it across the altar and say, God, you gave me this situation because you know that I can handle this. Because you knew that you had immense amount of faith upon me. You had that confidence on me, Lord, that you have let this come pass through me. Amen? Am I just shouting or is it just getting through? Haven't shouted in 9 months? I can't do this in front of, you know, the mic and looking at the camera. I can't do this. My neighbors would think that I'm crazy. You look at the camera and say, I am telling you. I'm like, but I'm looking at myself as well. So I look very weird shouting at myself. I can do this here. There's a word of God that needs to go out strongly. It's the word and the voice needs to be strong as well. Let it be so. Amen. All right. The God called out to the man in Genesis. He said, Adam, where are you? And I heard your voice in the garden, he replied. And I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid myself. Who told you you are naked? God's not interested that you're afraid. And point, underline this. He said two things. I'm afraid and I'm naked. But God was not interested that he's in fear. God was not paying attention to his fear. Fear is something that you are building. You don't want to build, you won't build. I'm telling you, it's fairly straightforward. Don't build some imaginary rubbish on this stupid foundation that the enemy has laid and walked away out of your life. Don't build those. It's not going to be worth it. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help anybody around you. Are we clear? Now, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, it clarifies, it ascertains that fear is not from the Lord. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. The three things. First thing, he has striked off, I've not given you the spirit of fear. It is not from me. Simple. It is not from me. It definitely didn't come from God. You all agree? Okay. But what did he give? Power, he said, and of love, and of sound mind. Sound mind does not build imaginary things that do not exist. Are we clear? Sound mind does not build imaginary things that do not exist. Sister, when you started singing, for the first time when you held the mic and stood in here, you know that you were singing, but did the church know that you were singing? Voice would have been a little bit feeble, a little bit wobbly. I'm not trying to put you in a corner, but I'm just trying to understand your experience. Because that way we all can relate. It's something that you have experienced. Maybe there was a little bit of fear. Maybe there was a bit of uncertainty. How would the people receive my voice? You see where I'm coming from? Maybe they don't like it. Maybe they're not accustomed to my voice. Well, I'll tell you something. These are all your something that has not really happened. These are all something that, you know, are not qualitative. They cannot be, quantified. They can't be counted. They cannot be measured. They're not there. Right? So I would start, you know, singing aloud. I don't care what you people think of my voice, but I'll sing. I'll sing unto my God. So you overcome your fear. And I want you to emphasize this particular thing called, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Underline that word, power. What sort of power did he give? What sort of power did God give you? Ask anything in the name, and my Father will give unto you. Which name? Jesus. Amen. So we are all Christians. We know which name. Good. So that one name has so much power that you could exercise that power. But when the enemy plants that seed, lays the foundation, you forget that.
We all forget it. I forget that. I could have used power. And how much power did he give you? How much power? The power of life and death upon the tips of your what organ? Hallelujah. You open your tongue. You speak to your situations. You control your circumstances. And you command this and say, in the name of Jesus, I command. In the name of Jesus, I proclaim. In the name of Jesus, I speak. So what you speak, what you say, what comes forth your mouth, God will make it happen. He is not a liar. He's not a man. And you know, the fear, the effects of fear in our life is like fear will draw you away from God. Except for the fear of the Lord himself. There is only one thing that Bible says where you have to have fear. And this fear that I'm underlining is called Yare, which is in reverence. It is in honor. It is in respect. I have fear of cockroaches, but I necessarily do not respect cockroaches. So I don't have any respect for spideys. I have fear of spideys, but I don't respect them. There we go. So there we go. We're talking about power. You see? Power. She wants to exercise. She wants to smash the spider. That's it. It's gone. You can react two ways to fear. One, run away from that situation. One, confront and handle it. The confront and handle it is where I'm trying to lead us all in into. Confront the fear. Handle it. Because God is there with you. God has always been there with you. He's never abandoned you. And he said that to the end, I will be there with you always. He said not randomly, occasionally, maybe not on the weekends, guys. Because I've got a family to deal with, my Heavenly Father. All right. Fear will draw you away from God. I'll tell you something profound. There was this 12 tribes of Israel who went to scout the land of Canaanites. And only two came back without fear. The rest all came back with fear. And with fear, the report that they gave was not aligning to what God was planning to do. God's plan was to give them the promised land, but this fear created a barrier between what God wanted to do and what these people think would happen. So that barrier, Caleb and Joshua could not experience. They didn't build that barrier. They've ignored that foundation that the enemy has laid. They ignored the foundation and seeds that the enemy has laid, and they said, if my God wants, we can do it. Let's go and claim it. This land is good. If it can feed the giants and Nephilim, it can feed us. For them, it is a month. For us, maybe because we are small, our tummies are small, we'll have it for an year. This land is so good. It's full of provision. Let's go and get it. This is what we want. How did those two people experience the same scenario differently to the rest of the 12 tribes of Israel? Out of 12 tribes and 12 leaders, only two came back differently. What were they experiencing? Why was their vision, why was their viewpoint anything different from the rest? You know where I'm coming from? They had the Spirit of the Lord. They had the Spirit of the Lord. Ask for the Spirit of the Lord and it'll make you strong, it'll make you courageous. You know when Samuel anointed Saul, the moment Saul turned back to return to his place, he had a renewed heart, it says, probably the first mention of open transplantation in Bible. God didn't literally transplant the heart, but he had a strong heart. Moving forward, he would become strong. Moving forward, he was not timid and coward anymore. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, what did he do? When the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, what did he do? When the Spirit of the Lord came upon David, what did he do? Just look at your history. draw things from it and ask God, pour your spirit upon me that I'll be able to handle this situation, and God will give you that strength that is needed. For that moment, for that occasion, specifically God has made a plan for that. And he will execute it impeccably, immaculately. And that is one area that my God specializes in. His execution. He's awesome. Perfect execution. All right, fear delays accomplishing God's purpose in life. Elijah ran for his life, and he was hiding inside a cave in the mountain. But let's take few instances before. He prayed for the fire, and fire came, consumed. He killed all the false prophets. He demolished Baal's statues. He did mighty and powerful things. And then when he heard what Jezebel has said, that, even if, as long as I live, I will make sure that I'll behead you and whatnot. The fear kicked in, and he started building that thing, and that made him run away and hide. And God came and said, what are you doing here? Bro, you're supposed to be there. What are you doing here? Inside a cave. I wanted you to be there in front of the people. They are looking up to you. You are their hero right now. I'm walking behind you. I'm walking right next to you. And what are you doing in here? God asks him. God asks Elijah, what are you doing here? My purpose for you is not hiding inside the cave, right? It'll draw you. The fear will draw you away from God's purpose. God's purpose will become hard to accomplish with fear in your heart. You can't do it. If I had fear of stage, especially to stand in front of you all and preach, would you think God's purpose in my life would have been accomplished? It'd be really funny if I had stage fear, a pastor having stage fear, and says, okay, I'll preach from where I sit. Nobody can see me from where this voice is coming from. All close your eyes and I'll preach. I'll probably sit in the corner somewhere hiding, maybe where Peter is sitting. Nobody can see Peter now. So I'm like, that'll be really funny. I've always thought about it. Never done that. Thank God. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear and doubt complement each other, but cannot coexist with God. Fear and doubt. Fear and doubt. I'll take you through a beautiful verse. Matthew chapter 14, verse 26 to 33. Between that, Matthew chapter 14, verse 26 to 33. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they cried. And cried out in fear. In here, we see the disciples are terrified. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. So this fear is not yore. This fear is very, very real. This is the real fear. And look what happens. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you and walk on the water. And Jesus said, yes, it's me. You can come. Come in. And he starts walking on the water. But when he saw the wind, he was what? He was afraid. And beginning to sink. Moments ago, he was walking on water. It's the best experience that I always wanted to. I practiced it many times and never succeeded. I've tried many times to walk. But unfortunately, my feet can hold ground only on the dry ground. I can't seem to walk upon the water but sink. How was Peter able to walk? Observe carefully. When Jesus said, come, which direction would Peter usually look at? And somebody says, come in. You knock the door. The moment you walk in, who would you like to see first? The person who asked you to come in, right? So the Peter's attention and focus was on Jesus. As long as it was on Jesus, he was able to walk. The moment he saw the wind, he lost his focus. Fear kicked in. And Peter started building. The moment somebody sees a foundation, not necessary that you have to start building. Not all the foundations around Merrifield and Micklem are for me. My house is already built. I can't be going and building on these foundations that are not mine. Put it this way, there is no such foundation that God has laid with fear. There is no such thing that God has laid with fear. God has given you free will. He's never made anything possible in your life taking advantage of your fear towards him. You get me? God has never taken that advantage. God knows who you are. Okay, Pastor, what did God say about fear? What do we do? How do we handle it? What did God say about fear? I want to take you through some beautiful stats. This fear not, especially that word, there is a false theory and a false stat that comes up saying it's probably mentioned about 365 times in Bible that accounts for one day, one not, fear not per day for the whole year, so it covers the whole year. There is a theory. I don't know whether it is true or not. I have not tested it myself, but I've got a question. What happens on the leap year? You got one day extra. So you let fear loose. All right, today I'll let the fear kick in. I've not experienced this fear in past four years. Let it kick in. I'll have few drinks and enjoy fear. 71 times in King James Version, it says fear not. Be not afraid shows up to 26 times. Do not fear never appears at all. It's strange, do not fear never appears. If fear is real, why would God ask you to never fear? Fear is real. It kicks in, that is real. Don't entertain it. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't nourish it. Don't entertain, don't encourage, don't nourish, don't harbor it. Don't sit upon it and start pondering and start engulfing. I live with fear. It's warm and cozy. It doesn't work that way. It destroys you. How to deal with fear? This comes from one of the greatest champions in my life, King David himself. He has experienced God's goodness. He says, I've tasted my God's goodness. He has tasted apparently God's goodness. And he also says this beautiful verse. It says, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust and I'm not afraid. How many battles did David win? I can't count. Apart from the ones documented, maybe a few more. But I'll tell you, in every one of those wars, was God there with him? Or was that pebble that he used for the first time killing Goliath? Did David keep that pebble in his pocket and say, this killed Goliath, I'm going to keep this for the rest of my life? Did Samson keep that donkey's jawbone forever? Don't focus on the objects and the blessings that God has given you. I always say this, don't focus on the blessings. Focus on the hand that blesses you. Focus on the origins where they come from. You chop it off, the origins of fear, it'll leave you. You face it. There's nothing wrong. God has given us a strength. And I'm being very real. I faced it. I'm no more afraid of picking up the phone calls. I said, what would happen at the max? My God is in control anyway. I can't alter the news that's going to come in anyway. It's going to come. I'm here. God has given me ears to listen to. I'm going to put this phone close to my ears and I'm going to lend it. I let God deal with it. So should you. Between Psalm 56, 3 and 4, and Isaiah 41, 10 to 14, God continuously says, for I am your Lord who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid. Do not fear, for I myself will help you. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I will help you. He continuously says this, I will help you. You are not ready to seek his help. What can God do? God is not an enforcer. God has given you free will. You open up, God will enter. God is not a thief to enter your heart cunningly and hidingly. He will not try and search for a window or a small hole to see and he can peek in, or if he can enter through that window. God is not like, you open that door, God will enter. Amen? Learn how to deal with your fear. Fear is real and we have to deal with it. And these are a few ways to deal with it. And never build on that foundation. Stay away from it. To be honest, even that foundation is not real. So far I've been discussing about that foundation. That foundation is not real. There's so much of a lie that enemy plants in your heart that we build upon, and we start imagining things that have never existed and never taken place. Amen. Hallelujah. So what I can say is, Pastor, probably just after we finish this service, maybe we'll just invite the people who are still going through some sort of a fear, something that they're not uncertain about, something that they're uncertain about. Maybe you should pray. We'll lay hands, we'll pray upon them, we will ask God to intervene, we'll ask God to command the situations and circumstances. We'll hand over to God to deal with. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Pastor, once again for giving me that opportunity, and thanks to the congregation for listening patiently. I think I've gone only 5 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe 20 minutes. No, I'm just joking. Only 5 minutes. 5 minutes off. Thank you. Praise God. 30 minutes. Hallelujah. That's a record.